Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the
radio. 30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
And we're with you for one of the biggest draft weekends, the fantasy football draft weekends in all the land. Still coming into next week, but you got time to do all the stuff. People are still going to be putting together these last-minute drafts. You've still got best ball. You can go out and rock a whole bunch of best ball ones. You can load up. And I know, we're not doing any specific drafts this
weekend.
I have
some breaking news. I have to tell you this.
Okay.
I would like you to go take a look at our standard entry league and look at the draft results and see that someone just drafted the Jacksonville defense in round 7.
No way.
Let me look. Round 7, and it doesn't say auto or anything next to their name. It just says Jacksonville defense, and then our guy Barwitz underneath that just said not cool.
Like he wanted Jacksonville's defense?
Wanted Jacksonville defense because nothing else out there is worth it, apparently. I mean, I just took LeGarrette Blount in the 7th round, so it's not great.
But what are we talking about here?
We're talking about Jacksonville defense being drafted in top 7 rounds. But, 16 teams.
Yeah. Let's coax it up like it's something. It's not. It's a standard draft, but it's pick 103. Okay, but Delanie Walker, Kirk Cousins, Drew Brees, Trey Burton, Duke Johnson, Matthew Stafford, Chris Thompson, all those guys are out there. And the Jacksonville defense just got taken?
Rather have Devontae Parker or Jacksonville D.
No defense.
Nelson Aguilar, Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah, all those guys.
Calvin Ridley, Alan Hearns, DJ Moore.
Devontae Booker.
I'm kind of blown away. That's why I had to interrupt. I couldn't pay attention to anything you were saying until you saw that this happened.
Well, clearly you couldn't. Here's another piece of information you want to know. That person has... it's something really funny. I'm not to pick on this. They have one running back. And I'm not joking you, Bogman. I wish I was joking. 5 of the 7 players have a week 7 bye week. I mean, it's a good team. I'm looking at the team. Well, I mean outside of running backs.
Yeah.
And defense. When you could have taken your second running back or flex. But
I mean, I just, like I said, I just took. You know
what
just happened, running back he does have is Chris Carson.
But you know
what
just happened,
look,
though?
Chris Carson's moving up. But come on.
We just became the analysts, though.
Right.
We did the thing that I hate.
Yeah, but this is also slow draft.
That's true.
So
that's true. What else do people like? Am I too worked up about the drafts? I think it's just we do too many.
I mean, I think you're just too worked up in general. So yeah, like the draft is not going to have. I mean, how is that going to change? It's not going to change anything. So, but I think a lot. Like I said, I
that's
think
that whole Adam Rank taking a kicker in the 5th thing.
Right. And that's our guy, Hal. And, you know, hey, Hal paid his money. Do whatever you want with your team. So he'll probably wind up winning. So
that's why I said, like, we're laughing about the week 7 thing's a bit extreme.
Yeah.
We're laughing about the defense. But at the same time, though, Chris Carson, the one running back they have, looks really sexy. Those wideouts be good and paired up something. I don't know, man. I always like there's something about having one of the best quarterbacks and a tight end together, like having like Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Graham, which he has, or you have like Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, like having those pairings or back in the day when it was Russell and Jimmy Graham. There's just something about the tight end quarterback combo that feels so right.
It's almost as good as like the Browns and mishandling injuries.
Good point. Preseason is relatively incredible. And the opener for week 3, all I saw was Tyrod. Went down, and he went down.
It's not French. You don't have to rud. It's
I don't know. He was so like I can appreciate the name thing where he's like, oh, you know, like everyone just said it wrong, so I just didn't battle it. Like I appreciate that. I'm on here. I'm like, please, I don't want to hear from anybody. I would not say anything. Like I'd one time if my name was Tyrod and people said Tyrod, I'd correct them one time and then I'd just be like, done forever. Don't need to do this. Call me whatever you want. Doesn't matter. People call me the Welch. I don't care. I'm not going to correct you. You do whatever you want. It's not worth my time. So I appreciate that type of lack of care of the planet from Tyrod. But now it's like a huge thing. And now we have to call him Tyrod. Regardless of the point, the dude in the Wicked preseason 3 goes down. Everyone freaks out. He comes back in the game. We get a report from Hugh Jackson that test came back negative. But then the report gets updated. He dislocated his pinky, but it was in the opposite throwing hand.
Yeah, it's his non-throwing hand. But also there's like this whole thing about, you know, it looked like he snapped his wrist, and everybody was saying that. And I was like, did it really look like he snapped his wrist? Come on. And then I saw it and I'm like, yeah, it looked like he snapped his wrist. Mm-hmm. You know, why would they put him back out into a preseason game when this is supposedly your starter?
Well, I wonder if it was him. Like, you know, he is probably.
Yeah, but you can't listen to any of the players.
But I'm just saying, he's probably sweating bullets right now because he knows if he. You know the thing where coaches are like, you're not going to lose your job to an injury? But guess what? Every time they lose their job to an injury, you know that's waiting for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, sorry, Trent Green. Kurt Warner's pretty good.
Yeah, but so, you know that's just always the case. It's always going to happen where people. He's probably terrified he's going to lose that gig.
Well, the Browns took Baker Mayfield. 1-1, you know, one overall in the drafts. Baker Mayfield's going to start for the Browns at some point. So there, he shouldn't have any delusions of grandeur, even though their stupid GM said
they're talking about
contract extension. Yeah,
extension.
That's not going to happen. So it's just not going to happen. Baker Mayfield's going to start at some point. But I don't know, you know, if the Browns are sitting here saying, look, Tyrod has done everything right. There's just no way we're going to begin this season with Baker Mayfield. And we've mentioned this. This is the whole thing about Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb as well. Like, why would you run a guy that, could wind up getting hurt? We know running backs' careers are shorter than any other position. Why would we run Nick Chubb into the ground in a season that we probably think doesn't matter that much when we could run this Carlos Hyde right into the ground? We could give him the ball 30 times a game. It doesn't matter. We're going to be done with him after this year anyway. You know, it's the same logic. Why would you beat up Baker Mayfield or ruin his confidence? The Browns have not developed quarterbacks well at all in the past. It's because they're starting these guys too quick.
What do you think it was the Browns too? Like, you know what I was wondering about? Like, all the news, you know, an important draft piece of information that people want to know also is Dez Bryant. Because Dez Bryant, you know, popularly came on to Hard Knocks, was all jacked up. There's a video going around. I mean, you want to talk about Tyrod not wanting to be out of a game. You see those videos of Baker Mayfield and Dez Bryant collecting some business together. But Dez Bryant, like, is he charging a premium on the Browns or something? Because reportedly they were going to give him under $5 million as a base, which that obviously when we hear the word base, there's an incentive that's built into those. The guy was probably fine incentives. He doesn't do it, which I wonder if there's a Browns extra fee that's put in there. But then he's taken to Twitter.
Browns fee.
I wonder if he's just at it because maybe he has something against the AFC North, Bogman. I don't know what it is because he didn't sign the contract with the Ravens. He's not signing with the Browns. The money's out there. And he keeps saying, and he went on Twitter, keeps talking about he's going to wait it out for the right situation. And he's not just taking it. You're doing a 1-year deal, dude. But just take your money. Like, take
what you can get.
You're
right.
Saying all these teams, and he's saying on Twitter, like, if I want to sign, there's a few teams I could sign with right now. I'm waiting it out. Why? Just sign with your team. Let's see what that situation is.
I think it's this week. I think it's this preseason
week. Oh, you think
he's
waiting
three.
For this week? Oh, okay.
Yeah, go over, and then, you know,
for the Tyrods to break their fingers.
Yeah, someone blows out their knee. You know, someone breaks an ankle and is going to miss a big chunk of time.
Okay.
And he's going to get a long look in an offense. I think that he's waiting for some, like, a team to become desperate. And I tell you what, the team that's most desperate for a wide receiver is the Dallas Cowboys, and they're not re-signing.
I don't think they are.
Bryant,
they are, man. They like Gallup. Gallup is a...
Who's more desperate than them, though? I would say
I
who has...
I don't think it's them. They have Allen Hurns, Cole Beasley, and Michael Gallup. I think they're feeling fine.
They can feel fine all they want, but they just don't have the experience. Like, I love Allen Hurns. I've been taking a lot of drafts. That dude is good for about 11 games tops.
Yeah, but, you know, but
he's always hurt.
I just, like, we have this conversation as fantasy people and analysts and podcasters and writers. We all have this conversation, and you talk about it a lot, where we're like, well, we know we're only getting this guy for 11 games. Teams do not do this. Teams don't, like, they will build in injury
concern. They should be smarter than us, though.
But I don't think there's a single team that goes out and they're like, okay, well, we know we're only going to get them for 11 games. They're assuming they're going to have all their guys for as many games. You want to know a team that
you
can
don't
use-
think that just behind the scenes, they're going, you know, we have to have a decent backup for X, Y, and Z because they've been injured before?
Absolutely, I do. Like that. But you talk in the definitive. Like, we know we're only getting him for 11 games. Teams
well,
don't think
it's
like
not,
that.
It's obviously not the definitive. I don't have a crystal ball. If I did, I'd be rich, you know. But I'm just saying, like, I think that the Cowboys are still the team most desperate for a wide receiver. Maybe you could put, you know, the Cardinals in there behind
I
what
think,
they have when
yeah,
in,
I think
sure.
the Cardinals. I think the Eagles have a ton of injuries that are going on right now. I've said this. I think he should go and sign with the Houston Texans. I think him, Will Fuller, and DeAndre Hopkins would be quite a combo to go with.
You gonna cut Kiki right out of there? Do you love me?
I don't love Kiki.
Did you see he did an interview the other day? He's like, I hate that song.
Oh, I bet he hates it. I bet it's the worst thing ever.
All I hear.
Well, because probably every person that comes around him, they like get their eyes all big and bug-eyed and their teeth come out and they're like, they think they're being clever. And he's like, no.
You love me.
I feel bad anytime I do that, by the way. Like, someone has some thing to them. And then you got to be like, oh, you know, it's like the Bobs, like Michael Bolton. And then you just know that person has just heard that
heard
their
it
entire
a million
life.
Times. Like, oh, yeah, you're so original. Great.
Yeah. And that's why you change your name. But honestly, that's just why you end up changing your name. And you
just call me
that.
Mike.
Yeah. Just call me Mike. No. But like, I don't think there is one team out there that has this definitive, like, we have, like, I just don't think it's the Cowboys. Like, we have got to. It's going to be how comfortable they are with their backups. That's why I see the Browns. Though, I will tell you, watching Hard Knocks, every time, am I the only one? Every single time Hard Knocks is on, Rashard Higgins is just catching touchdowns. That's all I ever see. Higgins, Colorado State, right? All he does is catch touchdowns on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, Rashard Higgins, but he had his chance. He was terrible last year.
Well,
they're all
he's
awful.
Amazing
last
on
year.
Hard
Coleman
knocks.
Was awful. Yeah, I mean that's why they went out and, you know, obviously Josh Gordon is supposed to come back, and they went out and they signed Jarvis Landry and they drafted Antonio Callaway. Antonio Callaway's been a troublemaker. No matter where he goes, he's been in trouble, and they still drafted him because he's supremely skilled. So hoping he can, you know, turn into what Tyreek Hill is with Kansas City. That dude had a bunch of problems too. So
I don't know where the teams are at in this situation, and I don't know where Dez Bryant is coming off with it. You have to assume he's not just being a total hothead about the situation. And there are teams that are probably like, hey, you know, keep me in mind. Tell us what you're doing. You know, here's what we're looking at. We'll talk to you more when we get out of like week two or, you know, preseason week three and we go into four. You're kind of right, dude. You're probably right. This is probably the area where he knows it's going to be crunch time. That's why this coming week he's going to get signed. And that's where I wonder and I ask you, is this something you take a preemptive action on and you draft him right now when I think his stock is continuously just dropping?
I've done it. I've drafted him. I drafted him in two spots in these entry slow leagues, and I took him well ahead of the Jacksonville defense in either one of them. So, I've been drafting Dez Bryant just in case. I mean, those leagues are a little bit deeper. I think in a standard league, he's probably right on that borderline of draftable. You know, because you're going to get down into some of those guys. It's like, who do you want? Do you want Dez Bryant or do you want Brandon Marshall? You know what I mean?
Easily.
That's kind of the area that you're at. Well, you might be mistaken at the end of the year. We'll see.
Oh, man.
I still like Brandon Marshall.
One is a bigger Brandon Marshall mark than you.
I love
it.
Well, Brandon
so
Marshall's won me a ton of money. So I really like Brandon Marshall. That 21 reception game, I believe, was in the playoffs a couple years ago when he was in Miami, I think it was. It could have still been Denver.
Like,
but
every touchdown.
That 21 catches, I won championships.
Every touchdown this year of Jordy Nelson, I'm going to get just loads of tweets. If Brandon Marshall makes a team, anything he does, you're going to get tweeted about, good or negative. And I expect we're going to see a lot of tweets from you if he starts doing some stuff. It's just like,
well, look,
one of
I've
your
only
guys.
Taken him in a couple drafts. It's not like I You know, especially those shorter drafts, 12-man drafts, I don't know any part of Brandon Marshall. But we've done a lot of 16-man drafts.
Yeah, that's true.
And I, to be honest, I think I've only taken him in one 16-man draft. So, because there's still better options than Brandon Marshall out there. I'm just saying that he is, like, Brandon Marshall is one of the first guys on my watch list. He could get cut. He could be nothing. I wouldn't be that surprised.
I'm fascinated.
If he pops up, I also wouldn't be that surprised, and a lot of people would be.
I'm fascinated with guys like him because I think, and this is something we can kind of briefly talk about, because I do want to hit Adrian Peterson in the next segment.
Crazy.
I know.
Jeez.
As soon as I said that, I'm going to bet a lot of people
want to
hit
him. What are you doing?
I want to hit Adrian Peterson. I mean, like, I want to.
With what? You going to make him pick a switch? Good Lord.
I want to talk about Adrian Peterson, but it led me to thinking, as we're talking about Dez Bryant, we're talking about Brandon Marshall, in drafts that you're doing this week, maybe specifically this weekend, by the way, there's kind of an all-value team. Now, that could be a touchy word for a lot of people. A lot of people like to just destroy the idea of value drafting. I don't suggest necessarily you have to be a, quote, value drafter, but there are players that present a value. Some are combination players like Chris Carson and Rashad Penny. There
it's
are all
Taco.
The what?
It's a hot Taco Bell players. They're
exactly. Combination Taco Bell Pizza Hut. Exactly. There are guys like Dez Bryant where there's an unknown to it. And there's a host of other players. There's this all value team, which do you want to have all these guys? No, but it's good and important to have them back pocket.
Because
as you go through your draft and you're finding the deficiencies that you start to have in your team, you can know what does that all value team look like? Who are the players that could be boosting in the next week? And as we've talked about before, sometimes you run into situations where you have a window. You have a very small window. Think of what that window looked like 2 days ago with Adrian Peterson to now. It changes. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk maybe about some of those value guys, some of the performances that have gone on in preseason week three. And of course, we got to talk about Adrian Peterson because that's one of the hottest names in this coming weekend. And where the
so
hell
hot.
Do you draft him? We'll talk about that. So don't go anywhere. That's Scotty B. Find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. I am the Welsh. We're here for you in a couple minutes, though.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more?
Let me tell you something about
In This League.
I know it's football season, but guess what? We're giving away more World Series tickets on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This time, it's the winner of free DFS baseball contests. Those contests are sponsored by DKMS, and they're looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. While 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their family, 70% must rely on a stranger to step up and donate. You can find out how you can help the cause and win 2018 World Series tickets playing free daily fantasy baseball by going to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That's dailyroto.com/DKMS. Your ticket to the World Series and blood cancer patients' ticket to life. Ooh, I got tripped up on that one, Box.
Stumbling, rumbling, fumbling.
Yep. Ooh, like Nyheim Hines. How about that? Huh? Am I right?
Dude, I was so excited about Nyheim Hines, too. I thought he was a nice little sleeper. Yeah. I think he had 196 carries last year or something in that neighborhood. And
everybody's talking
now? About Jordan Wilkins. But Nyheim Hines had more carries last year. And everyone's like, he's too small. But, I mean, it doesn't matter how big or small you are. If you fumble the ball constantly, you're just not going to be on the field. Dude has four fumbles already. It's ridiculous.
Nyheim Hines or Brandon Marshall?
Oh. I think most cases I'm still going to lean towards the upside of a running back. Yeah. So I'll take Hines. Yeah.
You sure? I want to put you to test if we can.
Yeah, no, I love Lamp. Yes. I love Brandon Marshall. No, I like Brandon Marshall more as a person too, because he had a bunch of issues when he came in the NFL. He really worked hard to clear him up, and I think he was misunderstood for a long time as well. And he has been a leader towards younger players also. And he said the part of the reason is because Rod Smith was a leader to him when he didn't have to be. I'm here to take his job.
I remember Rod
and
Smith.
He was a leader. So, but yeah, I mean, I personally like Brandon Marshall, so I'm rooting for him in most cases. So if I'm in a deep league, I'll fire him up. But other than that, probably not. So, especially with the bad running backs that we just talked about. So,
yeah, there's a lot of bad ones.
Was a value. I don't know if he is anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people kind of assume that he might be one of those guys that maybe has that the Chris Thompson type. He's got this established role that wasn't going to be affected by Marlon Mack or Jordan Wilkins or Christine Michael or whoever is out there. But I think that's
how upset have you been seeing Christine Michael get drafted in a couple of our drafts, by the way?
I took him in one.
No, you didn't.
I swear to God.
But
you know where
one?
I did it? I did it in, what was it? No.
You guys have no idea how mad, speaking of things, the Welsh judges, how mad the Welsh was me was at me this morning. So he was all kinds
about
of
what?
Salt about me taking Eli Manning.
Oh, well, you were being words I can't say on here. And then you admitted it and you knew you were.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Like, you want to know what's funny? I'm just going to take the L that week. I will not be. I do not negotiate with terrorists. I will not negotiate with you because you're going to try to be a complete a-hole about trading for. Because what happened
I just want a running back. I'll give you a quarterback.
But you're going to be an a-hole about it. You're going to be like, yeah, just like give me Jerick McKinnon, and I'll give you like Josh Allen.
I'm not
going
to ask for Jerick for who? What
Josh Allen
be?
For Jerick McKinnon? That's a fair deal. That's what,
no way.
But here's what's going to happen.
I would never say that. We make a deal right now.
Adrian Peterson. I got Adrian Peterson.
I'll give you Josh Allen right now.
I don't want Josh Allen. No, I want Josh Allen.
Okay, I'll give you Eli Manning right now.
We'll talk about it when we get on the break here.
Oh, okay. But now you're doing the. You're too good.
Well, no, I can't even think about it. But here's what the deal is. Bogman had like in this is a three sport we have. Literally had I think four quarterbacks in a one quarterback league, and I'm trying to trade. I try to trade with
16 man too. So.
I swear to God, Bogman. So there. I have no backup, but I have Kirk Cousins, and I have one of the best starting lineups in there. And there's only two good quarterbacks that are available in this draft. And Case Keenum is one of them who goes like two. Think about how gross that is. So now, 16-man, multiple people, I think, only have one quarterback. Maybe I'm one of the few. It doesn't matter. And Eli Manning is out there. We get to the pick before I go to the person at two before Bogman. I say, hey, any interested in any type of trade? No response. All right, you're dead to me. Next person. Hey, any interest in a trade? We get somewhere. Oh, I'm looking for a wide receiver. Okay, I throw out this stuff. Really no response. And I say, well, hey, is there a wide out that you think you have to take here that you can't get in five picks? Because that's where I am, and I'll give you stuff. And then they're like, I'm just going to keep it. Guess who that person took? Jermaine Curse.
Jermaine Curse gonna get cut.
Are you Jermaine Curse? You couldn't have got Jermaine Curse six picks later.
I mean, he could wind up somewhere. I don't know. I don't know what the logic is.
It's the most asinine thing. So then, of course, I would have given this person stuff. I was thinking about trading the Merrick Decker, which he said I needed wide out.
Oh, don't act like Eric Decker's so much better than Jermaine Curse.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Eric Decker can wind up
yes,
being cut.
Yes, he is. Okay. Whatever. Whatever, guys.
I was about getting Eric Decker, and he took Jermaine Curse.
The guy had no depth. Absolutely. Eric Decker is with the Patriots.
For now, I wouldn't be surprised if he's not on the Patriots week one.
Okay. Bogman, Eric Decker, Jermaine Curse.
I mean, I'd take Eric Decker, but I don't know if...
Oh, my God.
I don't know if that's just that. It's just not that
so
much of a compelling case.
Bogman's up with his team, and I'm like, yo, I'm like, you know, now it's like four picks down. I'm like, are you interested in something? And then Bogman does the pick and then goes, oh, man, I totally didn't see your thing, but I'm
didn't
just going to be...
I knew my plan, too.
I'm going to be a blank, and I'm going to just take all the quarterbacks and do it. And I was like, oh, okay. So I didn't really care at that point, because if you didn't trade with me, he wasn't going to get there, and other people made moves, but you're just trying to be an a-hole, and that's what you successfully done.
I just have to have a running back, dude. There's none left. Like,
this is a person that's saying, I have to have a running back, so I'll take five quarterbacks and hold a hostage to try to get a running back. But who is going to trade you what you want?
Well, look, the thing is, it's three sport, so I can trade other pieces. I can trade baseball draft picks, because we can't do players now because of the trade deadline.
Actually, you can. It's just it's a delayed trade.
Okay. I didn't know we could do that, so that even opens stuff up for me. I don't know all the side rules of all the millions of leagues that we're in. Yeah. So anyway,
I don't even care about the leagues, but yeah.
Baseball, I can move baseball pieces. I can move basketball pieces to get a running back. I just need a running back, and I know that this is a 16-man league where, yes, we only start one quarterback, but, you know, 32 quarterbacks. That's two quarterbacks per team. I've got five of them, and so somebody's going to need a quarterback at some point. So they're going to have to come to me for a quarterback. Now, I only have four starters because one of my dudes is Lamar Jackson, and one of those is Josh Allen, so that's kind of teetering as well. But I at least have three starters, and Sam Darnold, Eli Manning, and Matt Ryan. So the other options that I could have kept, by the way, I could have kept Amir Abdullah, and I was like, who the hell is going to take Amir Abdullah? He's the first guy taken in this draft.
Was he number one?
He wasn't the first, but he was like top three.
Yeah, he was like in there.
How bad the running back depth is. There's no one there for me to take at all.
There are guys
that'll do anything.
No, there's no starters, but there are guys you could speculate on.
There are guys there, but I tell you what, I figured that the guys that were there, I could get a better guy than who was there if I took Eli Manning and traded him.
Maybe.
And
it's a
smarmy, terrible strategy.
You want to talk about people that we hate on draft days. Bogman and I have literally sat down and had this conversation about I don't think there's a person I think less of than the person that goes into a draft and is like, I'm going to hoard all of this, and then I'm going to hold it over everyone's head, and
but
I'm going to trade.
Yeah, but you're also talking about like first year. I never do that first year. This is second year. I got burned on a bunch of my running backs. A bunch of guys got hurt. A couple of my guys retired. I had Danny Woodhead and somebody else retire. DeMarco Murray I had. He retired.
Yeah, that was so pretty bad. I mean, again,
I'm just in a tough spot.
People that do it, you can find success on it, but I judge you as a person when you do that. I judge you as a person when you're like, well, I'm going to just take all of this one position, and then I'm going to hold it over the league's head, and I'm going to terroristically
force all that
people.
Judgment this morning. The Welsh was even angry when I called him earlier today. I wasn't sure if it was about that or something else.
I'm over that. Like I said, you know what? As soon as you did that, I came to this realization.
You're dead to me.
I won't even put a quarterback in that week. I don't care. Like, I am that bullheaded and stubborn. I will not negotiate with terrorists. I'll just take the L, and I'm totally okay with it. I will take the L. I'll put no quarterback in. Ooh, I almost lost $100 there. I almost let it slip. I almost let that $100 go out the window. I will not put a quarterback in, and I'll be okay with it. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I'm going to hold the league hostage. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bench every one of my players, and I'm going to give the person I play an automatic win. And if somebody says, oh, I don't like that, then give me a quarterback. That's what I'll do. That's my plan. I will not put any player in. I will not be held hostage. And I will hold the league hostage now. I don't negotiate with terrorists, but I'm a terrorist now. And I'm not going to do that. Probably shouldn't say that. That's going to get on the list. That's going to get flagged somewhere. I'm a fantasy football terrorist.
Good luck on your next flight, Welsh. So.
Fantasy football terrorist. So it's fun. It's fun to get all, let's get all the venom out. Let's get all the bad stuff out, like the horrible person that Bogman is. And I wish I could say the word that you called yourself, because you nailed it. Like,
it started with a T.
Yeah. And it's also a form of measurement for light bulbs. There's watts in it. And like JJ.
If you took the J out of TJ Watt's name.
Yeah. And put a T near the front. Yeah, that's exactly. You nailed it. That is exactly what you were being in the entire process. And
I don't like doing it. Somebody give me a stupid run. Even in a rookie draft, like, I had a chance. I could have taken Kalen Ballage, but I don't know what his role is going to be week one. What's he going to do? Get me 2 points?
Would you trade Darnold right now for Kalen Ballage?
No.
Really?
I would.
Even though you said you just want a quarterback.
I just want a running back, and Adrian Peterson has a role week one. I don't know what Kalen Ballage is. All I know is he's a concussion protocol.
Am I off here? Am I off that the terror? What's the word I'm looking for? Like, being a fantasy terrorist and holding a hostage all of a single position is like just a garbage tactic?
It Am I the only one? I, like I said, I don't like that I have to do it, but this no one would trade me a running back.
You're like the guy, you're like, listen, I got to feed my family, so I'm going to have to rob this bank. I don't want to rob this bank.
Give me the money. Just put it in the sack. I got to get out of here. Got to feed my family. Got to make sure those kids go to college. Chip, even though I don't have a family, according to the Welsh.
Let's talk about the fantasy value guys. Adrian Peterson, actually, specifically, I just took in a draft. It was our PPR entry league. It's a 16 man. Everything we do is 16 man. And I'm going to pull this up here. I took him higher than I would want to, but it was about situation. And you and I were kind of just breaking down some of the stuff. One of the reasons I took him was, and this is higher than I'm comfortable with and that we've even talked about, but as a point that you and I were talking about on the break, there is a lot of hype and Adrian Peterson is not going to fall anymore. So much so, I looked on Fantasy Pros. I think I saw someone that had him. Do I still have it up? The highest person on Adrian Peterson I saw was 35 at running back. I mean, that's a start. That's a flex starter, essentially. Dude, that's a number three running back.
I'm nervous about where I feel like he has to go now. Like, he looks so good, but he did this last year, too. When he got traded to Arizona, he looked so good in that first game. He had like 30 carries. He was over 100 yards. He's amazing. And then he was garbage for the rest of the year after that. So I just like knowing where to put him. But I can guarantee you right now where you took him. And also you got to think like the Welsh is you're picking. What was it? It was 15 out of 16 or you were number two.
That's essentially a wheel pick. Yeah, it's essentially like a wheel pick.
So it's going to be so long before you pick again after this grouping that you have. He's not coming back to you.
And here's the most important thing here. And this is where I see some of the strategy. And a lot of people are going to ask, where do I take Adrian Peterson? Here's one of the reasons I did it. I drafted Mark Ingram because I went heavy wide receiver. And Mark Ingram, because the running backs went nuts. Remember we told you about how Fantasy Pros is like, oh, guess what? You can get like Dalvin Cook at 18 and you can get like Leonard Fournette at 20. No, you can't. There was no running backs there at I got him in like the 40s. So I took Mark Ingram, which is a risk because he's suspended for four games. And then what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to piecemeal a running back situation, which I don't want to do. That's a strategy question I tell everybody. I don't want to do what I'm doing right now. But I had the 15th pick and Julio Jones fell in a PPR. So I got to take Julio Jones and there were no
running. It's actually not. Ugh.
That what?
Is that ridiculous? Like I said, that's ridiculous. Stupid. And then I thought about it. I was like, maybe that's not ridiculous with the running backs.
I mean, maybe it's not, but still, I'm at 15 and Julio Jones is there. I got to take him. It feels ridiculous when we say it. And then I took Davante Adams coming back because he was the best option. So I put myself, I did this to myself. I put myself in the situation where now I'm chasing my tail at running backs and I'm trying to piecemeal this position together, but I have incredible wide receivers. When Ingram comes back, I'm in a good spot. So I have got to hit on a couple others. So I got Chris Carson. I've got Tariq Cohen in a PPR, and I drafted Adrian Peterson in the hundreds. So I got him at like 111. That feels like it's kind of high, but he's probably going to go around 125 now. I think he's going to be in that 1 to 125 range because of the performance. And if I can get early production out of him, that's what I'm looking for. But how comfortable are we with it? Because you and I, at one point on the Black Book, we were all talking like he's got to be a late round guy, but he looked like he was 27 years old out there.
Well,
just flying
around. Like he's been there for four days or whatever it was, and he's already working with the number one team offense, and he looks really good. But I'm just so nervous because, like I just mentioned, this is the exact same stuff that he did when he was with the Cardinals last year. He looked good for week one. He was garbage after that. So it's difficult to know where I would rank him. I think if I'm in your situation, I've taken some wide receivers early. I'm kind of swinging for the fences. That's when you take him early. But like, do you want? Do you want me to give you a couple real quick?
Yeah. All I was going to say is like, in a normal 12 team draft, this probably would have equated to like the 10th round. Does that sound right?
About
the 10th round where he was taken. Maybe the 9th round where he was taken.
Let me ask you something. Yeah. Did Jacksonville defense go yet?
Yes.
Okay. That's Didn't the it? Same league?
Didn't it? Oh, hey, oh it wasn't a different
been,
league?
Been, I mean, I know we're not playing with the same people, but it might have been a different
league. That's a good question. I should look here because maybe I made him a draft mistake. I should have taken Jacksonville's defense. No. Oh, Bogman, it did go a while ago. I think it went in the 6th round.
No, it didn't.
I got to look here. Hold on. nobody cares about this, but like,
I mean, this is the eighth round, right, of this draft, if like for a real draft or whatever. So
they went. Hold on. In the sixth round.
All right. Yeah, I mean,
same person. Okay.
Right. He's in on the Jacksonville defense. Adrian Peterson or Chris Thompson, same teammates.
PPR?
PPR.
Chris Thompson.
Okay. Adrian Peterson or Ronald Jones?
Ronald Jones. By the way, one of my favorite things that happened over over last night and over this weekend, if you've seen it, is Roto World had a break, like a news alert. It was Ronald Jones catches deep pass. That was it. That was like the news alert from RotoWire. I thought that was hilarious. All right. We're going to talk a little bit more about AP. We're going to talk about the rest of the sleepers, and we're going to break more into, there's some articles out there that I think we want to look at. It's all about that draft, baby. Get it right. You got to sometimes work around the situation that you're dealt, and that's what we're all doing here, even amongst the anger and when people hoard players. Scumbags. All right. We'll be back. End of sleep.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for it.
In this league.
What's this?
In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. They have free rolls registering all the time and great promotions for free prizes. Keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million survival contest opening about a week before the NFL kickoff. Go to fantasyfactor.com. That's fantasyfactor.com. I like Survivor, the Survivor things. We should do. Are we doing one of those in the ITL?
Survivor? Yeah, we can do Survivor again.
I'm a survivor. Did you ever watch Survivor, by the way?
Nope, not one season. Our buddy Collings, who does like all of our leagues with us, all of our home leagues, that's like his guilty pleasure. He's seen every season of Survivor.
Oh, okay.
I've never met another person who's seen every season of Survivor.
I would never watch Survivor. I'm not interested in any of that. But I am interested in where this is going for a minute. Outside of the obvious, give me a guilty pleasure. A real guilty pleasure, not a pleasure. Do you have any guilty pleasures? It can be a band that's awful, that everyone knows is awful, that you like. It can be a TV show. It could be a movie. It's got to be some form of entertainment like that.
what's the movies where, now see, this
rom-coms?
Is...
Rom-coms?
No. It's worse than that. It's the one with Anna Kendrick.
Oh, Pitch Perfect?
Those ones.
Yep, oh, that's so it. Lame. Everyone loves that. If you don't love Pitch Perfect, you're a loser. Those are the best movies.
I mean, that was like my secret shame. I never told anyone else that.
Are you kidding? Give me a break. Everyone is sitting there going,
these are funny.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
I mean, I don't sing to them, but they're hilarious.
Those are hilarious. That doesn't count.
Okay.
Everyone loves those. Everyone loves
I've watched Futurama like 8 million times in a row over and over and over.
No, it'd be like, you know, like Michael Rapaport. Well, I mean, he's like, I love Housewives. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, so, like Survivor, I think, is a guilty pleasure. People love, the most popular one now that everyone wants to be cool is like, I love The Bachelor or The Bachelorette.
No, I don't watch The Bachelor. I know someone was in that. I think a guy from Pro Football Focus was in The Bachelor, and everyone's in on The Bachelor. I'm just not. I don't. And none of that stuff entertains me or I'm into. When I was 16, I watched like Real World Road Rules Challenge.
Okay, that's kind of one.
But that was also like, you know, almost 20 years ago.
Okay, here's another question. As much as we can do not talk about football. Do you think that wrestling is a guilty pleasure now?
No.
You think it's more popularized? It's okay. I feel like there's still a lot of judgment towards wrestling.
Yeah, but there always has been. There always will be. It's not a surprise.
Okay. So wrestling is not like the Real Housewives.
Television. You know, there are people who don't watch TV and they're like, well, I just don't have time for TV. I don't even own a television. What are you doing? Yeah. What are you doing with your time? The Welsh, you have 150 kids and a wife and all of your in-laws living with you and a million animals, and you still have time for television.
Bogman,
what are people doing?
I have three televisions in my studio right now. None of them are plugged in. Not one is plugged in. Not one is on.
I've got
three.
I'm watching right now. I've got the Diamondbacks game on, the Astros game on.
I actually don't know why I have a TV, because all I do is watch my computer. It's all, everything I consume is on my computer.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of those people, by the way. You know what all I do? You know what I just said to my wife the other day? I should get a new TV. I can get a 60-inch LED for $300 right now.
Where is it? Where? What is it?
4K. You get a 4K 60-inch. I think it was 60-inch.
Where?
It was like a Walmart or something like that.
Huh? All right.
That's a good deal, right?
And I have to look into that. So
here's one of my favorite sites right here. We're going to do it live on live on the show, because guess what? We do what we want until they don't let us anymore. TVs, 60-inch or larger, dealnews.com. That's a place I like to frequent to find some deals. Let's see. Dell Home is offering a 65-inch 4K LED UHD. I don't even know what all these acronyms are. TV. And you get a $200 Dell gift card, like you'd ever use that for one of those lame computers, but
$800. $800. Well, you just said $300. So your price just went up $500.
Well, I'm just on Deal News. I'm just telling you. You can't. Well, Walmart has a refurbished one, but $400, but you're not going to buy a refurbished.
Right. So the mud people. I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to be in the market for a new television soon.
There
you go.
If you want to dangle with some brands, they've got a Spectre 65-inch 4K LED for $470 at Walmart.
That's just not something I can do. I can't buy a brand I've never heard of, because I don't know if that's going to last 6 months, that's going to last a year. I've had an RCA 40-inch TV for a decade, and it still works perfect. It's amazing.
Sony. I like my Sony. I've got LG and Samsung.
See, LG, I don't know. No? I don't know about LG.
Really?
No, any company that also makes phones, all those phones are made to break. So
that's why you're like out on Samsung? You're out on LG?
Yeah, don't have a Samsung either. So actually, I do have a Samsung, but
RCA makes stereos.
They make a TV that lasts a long time.
They're selling 86-inch televisions now.
Why not? Why wouldn't they?
I don't know.
At that point, why wouldn't you just get a projector?
Well, because everyone is so trendy. They're like, ooh, guess what? I don't even do television in my house anymore. Like, you know what? We are just moving to a space, like I told you before, everyone's in a live draft. All anyone is trying to do is just get rid of all the technology. And you know what the next thing in 4 years is going to be? I don't even put my lights on in my house. Everyone on the East Coast, guess what?
I have candles.
I don't even have air conditioning. Guess what?
I have a cell phone. I've got carrier pigeons.
I do smoke signals. That's what we do. I don't even use matches on my smoke signals. I make my fire. Everyone loves to tell everyone all the things that they don't do and they're not into. Guess what? I'm not into this. Into that.
I thought of a guilty pleasure. Have you ever seen I Shouldn't Be Alive? Have you seen that show?
I'm trying to remember which one. You know what? I had a friend who was... Did you ever see that show? You'll tell me about it in a second. 1,000 Ways to Die?
No, I've heard about that, but I've never seen it.
I had a friend that was one of the characters on the show, because they reenact
the
ways.
He died on the show.
Yeah. I have a friend. He's done some dumb, like, weird, random stuff. He's like a Justin Timberlake movie, but or video, music video. And then he shares this, that he was one of the guys that dies in 1,000 Ways to Die. But no, what? Explain me yours.
So I Shouldn't Be Alive is these people that go on... usually it's some type of adventure. Sometimes it's not an adventure. They just get lost and they tell this story about how the things they had to do to survive. I didn't know it was going to be so brutal the first time I watched it. The very first time I watched it, it's these people that I think their boat sank. They're in the Atlantic. Their boat sank. They had a emergency raft or whatever. And there were six people on it. All of them died except for one lady. And she is just telling...
And she was super fat after she gained like 40 pounds.
Yeah, she looked like Hurley from Lost. She was about to die when another ship picked her up.
How did all the people die? They just like, they freak out and
dehydration. Like a couple people started drinking the seawater.
Were they all in the boat?
They were they were on the emergency raft when the boat sank.
Oh my god.
So and they had rations in there, but the rations run out in like 3 or 4 days, you know, can't carry that much. But then they had no place to go to the bathroom, so the emergency raft is filled with pee and poop, and it's just disgusting. And the sharks can smell the pee, so they're just hanging around the pee the whole time.
Like, stop saying pee.
They're hanging around, waiting for people to go overboard. And sharks got a couple of them. People started drinking seawater, went insane, dove straight into the water. And she's just sitting there, like the picture they had, or the way they showed it, the reenactment. She's just sitting there in this boat filled with pee, the Welsh.
Stop
it. She's just ready to go. She's just like, I'm just going to die now. And then a boat comes by and picks her up. And I just did not expect it to be that brutal. And it was just, I was like, oh my God. So like, I had a couple of them on my DVR, and I'm like, and one of them was, these people were on a date. They start, they did one of those ski lifts, but in the summer, you know, like, so they go to the top of the mountain, and there's snow on the top of the mountain. So they have a little snowball fight. They get lost. They go too deep in the woods. They can't find their way back. And they find a skeleton of another dude who got lost. And he's got a campsite and all this stuff going. And he's got a flint. Super experienced dude. He's dead. That's where it's like a movie.
The like
woods.
They just walk in and let the fire still on. And it's just a skeleton.
He's just a skeleton. He's just a skeleton. They find his wallet and stuff so they can tell his family. This dude set the forest on fire to get them out of there. Started a forest fire so that helicopters...
Wait, the skeleton did, or these water. Guys?
These people did it. They started a wildfire to be rescued. So it's just like, why would I leave all of my televisions ever? I'm not going to do that. So I can be on I Shouldn't Be Alive. No adventures for me. I'm going to die of heart disease like every other American sitting in front of my televisions. That's what I'm going to do.
What a guilty pleasure you have.
Yep, mine is fast food.
I think I have. I don't. You know what? I mentioned all that. I don't even know if I have a guilty pleasure. Like, I'll tell you, I probably know all the characters of the Housewives and what's going on with them because of my wife.
Really lame. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't like it. But I mean, I'll look over because they are all just like fake and things are big. And yeah, it's just like there's sometimes things you can't not look at.
Yeah. Like Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah. Yeah. Girl Next Door or... In what's the movie with the guys, Will Ferrell and Vince Vaughn?
Vince Vaughn. Oh, Rachel McAdams.
That movie. What
Wedding
is it?
Crashers. Old,
what's the movie?
What are you? Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, Will Ferrell, and one of the Wilson brothers.
I don't know what you're talking about, dude. Old School?
Yes, Old School. Thank you. I just couldn't think of it. Cuthbert is in Old
That's
School.
Her. That's her.
I know.
That's okay.
Her in that movie, Cuthbert, or Girl Next Door?
I mean, they're the same girl. I don't know what we're asking about.
I'm saying,
is it hotter because she's in high school and Old School?
No.
Is that what you're asking me? If I'm a pervert? The answer is yes. I'll take high school.
What other type of guilty pleasures do you have?
We've already gone over. I don't have any of that stuff on my computer. So when I bring it in to get fixed, if you're going to go through it, you're going to find stuff you don't like, but it's all legal.
I know an old. Okay, the last one, and then we'll talk things. We're trying to see how much we can tune out. It's a game. I will say this was a guilty pleasure I had for a bit. I don't even know if I call it a pleasure, but like I watched it and realized no one else watched it. I definitely watched like 4 seasons of Girls.
Girls, I tried a half a season, and I was like, this is the worst show I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, but there's the – who's the singer's daughter?
No, it's the news reporter. It's Brian Williams or whatever.
Yes, his daughter.
Allison Williams. Great, she's in Get Out also.
Yeah, great scene in like season 3 or something that's worth the price of admission.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot that else isn't. All right, what were we talking about 15 minutes ago?
I don't know.
Guilty pleasures
we,
and
we
the
went
anger.
Down, we went down the rabbit hole of shows and things. And
we're talking.
Adrian Peterson is your guilty pleasure. You were just about to trade in me for Eli Manning.
Yeah, it definitely has become kind of a guilty pleasure. I guess actually these late running backs are guilty pleasure. But more than anything, my guilty pleasure has been the players that are dropping in value for whatever said reasons. We kind of put a list together of some players that are rising in value, which I think is some of them are a problem, and some guys that are falling in value. So the guys that are rising in value, Royce Freeman, problematic. David Njoku, problematic. Not that they're not worthwhile, you just hate to see it. John Brown, it's not problematic because it's not moving to a territory you can't handle. Carlos Hyde, it's okay.
Carlos Hyde is still hit or miss. He'll still drop in some drafts.
Yeah, he's still doing okay. Taywan Taylor, who I like. We have Adrian Peterson. Trey Burton is very popular. Tyler Lockett and Christian Kirk. Okay. Of those guys, who do you think is the most problematic as far as rise in value? And who is immune to however high they go in drafts, you're still taking them?
I think the immune guy has got to be Royce Freeman because I just took him in, I think it was the third or fourth round of our 16-man draft.
Oh, you were the one that did it.
We're getting in like the, you know, between the late 30s, early 40s where I picked him because I can't remember if it was the third or fourth round. But he looked good again in his preseason game yesterday, scored another touchdown. And I feel like he's just running away with this job in Denver. I know Booker will have a role, but I think this is almost kind of like the Christian McCaffrey and CJ Anderson stuff,
you know,
where it's just going to be, you know, 8 out of 10 carries are going to wind up going to Royce Freeman.
All right, well, I was going to say is like, you don't think there could be a type of a split scenario. You think he runs away with this like Kareem Hunt?
I mean, Kareem Hunt was used more than, you know, it was him and Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley.
And I'm not telling you to say Royce Freeman's going to lead the league in rushing or anything like
that.
But you know, we came in with a lot of thought on Spencer Ware, and then Kareem Hunt just completely demolished any idea that anyone else existed.
I think it's like a 250 to 150 split, you know, and Royce Freeman gets the carries over Devontae Booker at the end of the year. And maybe it starts out a little more even, but with Royce Freeman's talent, because this is a guy that came off the injury. When I was watching some of his film from last season, he just didn't have that same burst that he had his sophomore year. He had this incredible burst when he get past the line. He had the knee injury, didn't look the same, but he played all year last year. And now it's like further removed from this knee injury. He's looking better and better and better.
So who's problematic then here?
Problematic, probably Adrian Peterson, because you just don't know where to take him. You just don't. Like I said in the last segment, the Welsh, it's just difficult to know. Is this a ruse that we're seeing? Is he going to turn into an old man again and then be cut week 6 and they go back to stupid Samaje Perine or Robert Kelly? You know, I don't know where the line is. But I know he's going to start the season, and I have to have a second running back, so I will give you Eli Manning.
Okay, we're still holding that. I would say that you probably nailed it on those guys. Guys that are falling, this is interesting. You've got Kenyon Drake, which falling is relative because he's still not falling enough. You've got Rashard Matthews due to injury, Sammy Watkins because he doesn't get a ball thrown his way in the preseason, Alshon Jeffrey injury, Ronald Jones due to apparently he didn't catch balls in college, and Peyton Barber, and then Rashad Penny. And the guys that I'm taking advantage of as far as this value goes has really solely been Ronald Jones and Rashad Penny. Like, I am taking complete advantage of those because I'm in. And also, I usually can get one of those other guys, like a Barber or a Chris Carson. I usually find myself taking them and pairing it out. Those ones I really like. Alshon Jeffrey, when it gets really drastic, I just haven't seen a spot where Kenyon Drake falls enough.
Let me ask you this. If you're stuck between Freeman and Drake, what are you going with?
I think I'm going Freeman. I actually moved Freeman. I think in my ranks, I think I did the move, but I have Freeman above Drake. And I've given some really, really hard thought in, like, when we had one of the 16 man in the third round, I gave some serious thought to taking Royce Freeman, but I just wasn't in the spot. Like, you were in a better spot where you could take him, like, you know, relative to the players that were available. He's one of those guys that's moving up, and there are guys you can take advantage for value. So be on the lookout for that. You know, where guys like Jonathan Williams are a good value play right now. Rashad Penny, I think, is still in that range. Chris Carson is moving a little bit out of it, but we're going to talk more about it. We've still got the last hour coming up. Bogman and I are going to look at some stuff around the industry as far as articles go. We'll talk more about some values, and we'll get you guys set up for your fantasy football draft. So don't go anywhere. That's Bogman. I'm the Welsh. We'll be back.